Welcome all of my para-patriots, thank you for joining me. You are seconds away from listening to one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out there in podcast land. Yes, tighten up that tinfoil hat because you are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me. As always, I wear my tinfoil hat. I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. So thank you for listening to this week's show. This week's show is going to be a continuation of last week's show. As I mentioned, I had to cut the show a little short last week, so we are going to continue on our tour of the UN 2030 agenda and what does it mean for you. Now, even though I didn't finish the whole agenda, the last half of the show generated a lot of input from my listeners. The majority of my listeners kept telling me that UN 2030, bad idea, bad deal. This is going to be horrible. And of course, there's people out there that are all for the government that think the government is only there to do what's best for us. And I go back to what I said last week, show me a government project. Show me something the government has had their sticky little hands on that has done well. You can't. It's just not possible. But the majority of my comments last week, and this is why there is no comment of the week, because how do I choose? Last week, I probably had the most comments during the course of a week than I have ever had. And almost every single one of them revolved around the Wendigo encounter from Lawrence in the Utah mountains. The majority of people were terrified, as I was when I first read it. They agreed with my sentiments that this guy, if this is not true, should be writing a book. Because he can put into words emotions, feelings that make the reader, or the listener in this case, feel what he went through. Now, after the show last week, Lawrence emailed me and thanked me for portraying his encounter with such levity and such understanding. And, you know, I will always do that. I have learned back in my early days, I used to ridicule and disparage encounters that my listeners would send in or encounters that I would hear about. Well, unless it's a blatantly bogus account, which those I don't get a lot of, I'm going to give it the respect that it deserves, because if you as a listener are going to send me your encounter with the hopes that I read it on the show to let all the other listeners of the show know what you went through, I have to respect that. And Lawrence, if you're listening, I do respect that. Did this happen to you? I have no reason to think that it didn't. And I've been reading up on the Wendigo since the last 2 weeks shows, and there are more and more encounters. I won't forget what I said on the first Wendigo show when I said, look, if you survive an encounter with a Wendigo, consider yourself lucky because it doesn't happen a lot. Well, it happens more than I thought, because people who are seeing these Wendigos tend to survive. And I understand if you are killed by a Wendigo, you can't tell your story, but I think more people than I really originally thought are able to survive Wendigo attacks. Now, why is that? Because the Wendigo's looking into you and can see you're a good person, you mean no harm, or Did you outsmart the Wendigo, or what happened? I don't know, but more and more people I'm seeing and learning about have survived Wendigo attacks, so why wouldn't Lawrence be any different? He shouldn't be. So, the majority of the listeners last week, they absolutely loved that part of the show. And Dustin, one of my listeners, said that was great. That was scary, terrifying. I can't remember the exact words, but he responded, and he was looking forward to that. So I'm glad that it came through as well as it did. I was terrified when I first heard it, and I tried to convey, and when I read these emails and these stories, I try to convey a little emotion rather than be a robotic, hello, I had an encounter, my encounter was such and such. But I try and put more emotion into it to bring that emotion that I feel when I first read an encounter to you, my listeners, so you can feel somewhat maybe what this person who actually had the encounter had or felt. That is what I try to do. Whether or not it comes through, it varies from person to person. But most people last week loved the Wendigo story. A lot of people last week were for my views on the UN Agenda 2030. We're going to get into that a little deeper. But there were some people that just couldn't believe how right-sided, I think the word was, or how conservatively viewed I was reading into these. And we'll get into why I did that at the beginning of the next segment when I go 8 to 17 on the goals. Now, I'm going to go through goal 18 to 17 on this episode of the show, and that will finish out the UN agenda. I will, again, give you my thoughts on what I really think these goals mean. I don't know how long that's going to last. I do want to get into something that was supposed to be on last week's show, and I'm slowly starting to learn not to tip my hat, not to overpromise or promise something that I can't give at that show. A couple of times I said, I'm going to talk about this on this week's show. I don't get to it. And there are a couple times that I've never gone back to that subject because something else has taken precedent. But I wanted to talk about the 41-year-old man in Canada who has ALS. What the Canadian government did to him. You think a Wendigo attack was terrifying? Listen to this story, because this is terrifying, because this is the socialized medicine that people want in this country. You really, really need to listen. If you have not heard this story, it is heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. So depending on how long these segments go, I may throw in a paranormal encounter. I have a couple sitting on standby. I don't know. I'm not promising anything. But in the meantime, sit back, relax, open that mind, because the UN Agenda 2030 Part 2 is coming up at you. And we're going to dig into what I believe is the true motives of this agenda. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch. The names may be different, but the creature is the same. Tall, hairy, humanoid, unlike any creature known to man. This elusive cryptid has confounded all efforts to find it. Now is your chance. Northern Michigan, Thursday, October 3rd, through Sunday, October 6th. Join Richard Knox and the Bigfoot Field Research Organization as they head to Northern Michigan to learn and maybe find this elusive cryptid. When you get there, you will have presentations. You will go on walks through the woods and see possible structures made by Bigfoot. And who knows, you may possibly see one of the world's hardest to find cryptids. Go to BFRO.net hit the Expeditions tab, and sign up for the Northern Michigan Expedition. Join Richard Knox and the BFRO as they search for Bigfoot. Come join us in Northern Michigan, October 3rd through October 6th, 2019, and possibly make history. Whether or not you make history, you are guaranteed to learn things you did not know and possibly see structures that were possibly made by this legendary cryptid. Again, go to BFRO.net, hit the Expeditions tab, and click on the Northern Michigan Expedition and sign up for what could be the trip of a lifetime. Join the BFRO and Richard Knox and earn your chance to possibly become part of history. Will you be part of a group that finds definitive proof that Bigfoot really exists? There is only one way to find out. Go to BFRO.net. They are back for year two. Join me Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomena, and more. Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much, much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they have added a great new batch of vendors for this year. Everyone was so pleased with the location last year that they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside, and the rooms, you'll agree, they are the best. Join me for another educational and refreshing event, Friday, September 20th, Saturday, September 21st at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Come join me for the Michigan UFO Contact 2. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
There is a time when you need force, no resource for me to enforce. My ride of speech, my lead me horse, I bear the torch. Let's march 4th, July the 4th, we set the course for this independent outreach. You say free, but I feel the leash and I release the beast. Sick of the YouTube clips where the gun go click and the cop don't miss and the innocent man is dead in the whip and we got conflicts and the two don't mix and we all on the news just throwing fits and we lose our cool, man. When reality hits and you get this shit. Look at the way I live and look at the way I dress.
Alrighty, we are back. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, there was a lot of people that contacted me and said, hey, Tom, you're absolutely right. This UN 2030 agenda thing, bad deal. Bad situation. Of course, there's some people that said, Tom, I don't understand why you can honestly look at this as something as negative. Because this is people who are trying to make everybody equal, so nobody's above everybody else. Well, you know, this is what the whole UN 2030 agenda is utopia. That's what they make it out to be. Now, again, I'll say what I said last week. If I'm going to work harder than my neighbor, let's just say we have a communal in the neighborhood farm, that every house has their own farm, and this has precedent. This happened in Plymouth when the Pilgrims landed. They had everybody farm their land, and then they put it all into basically a warehouse-type area. And then they divvied it up equally among the people. Sounds great. Sounds absolutely fine. People are fed. Everybody gets an equal share. Well, the problem is, if I'm one of these pilgrims working my butt off and producing 200 pounds of sweet peas, and I've got my neighbor who wants to sit on his porch and drink and nap and smoke cigars all day, and he produces 20 pounds of peas at the end of the season, he gets the same amount as I do. Why why would I want to work as hard as I do when I'm not going to reap the benefits of it? So what you're going to do is you're going to have a lack of production. This everybody's equal thing sounds great on paper until it's put into practical use. People by nature are jealous, they're mischievous, and if they see themselves working hard and see somebody else not working as hard but they're reaping the same benefits, one of two things are going to happen. Either the person that's working very hard will begin to slack off, so therefore the production goes down, or they're going to rebel, just like what happened in America. The first year, after that first year in Plymouth, after the harsh winter, people said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to keep what I produce because I'm going to work hard and I'm going to create ways to make things better. Why would I create something to make things better if I'm not going to reap any benefits of it? Because all it's going to do is be given to this guy, to this guy, to this guy, and I get nothing for it. But the people in charge will get something for it because they will have more to hand out. It doesn't make sense. This is what socialism is, people, and this is what the youth of this country wants. They want everybody to be equal, but the problem is they don't understand what that means. They haven't looked into it. So when I left last week, I was on goal number 7, which was to ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. In every one of these goals, the way they put it on paper, it sounds amazing. It sounds, why would anyone want to not have sustainable, reliable, affordable energy for everybody? Why would anybody not want that? This is what this whole agenda is all about. It's making this sound like, why would you not want this? If you don't want this, you don't care about your neighbor. You don't care about your friends and your family. You're just out there for yourself, so you're a horrible person. But when you look at the whole picture, this is just, honestly, a government plan for a new world order where you have a select few of elites that will control everything. If you've ever seen The Hunger Games, that's essentially what it is. You have all these districts. Let's just use the United States. Or you can use England or Australia or anywhere in Europe. You have these districts. Your country is cordoned off, blocked off by district. And every district has its own, quote-unquote, leader. That leader does well. The people under him are struggling. Everybody has to work. Everybody has to chip in and give their due. If you are not able to chip in, if you are old, infirmed, handicapped, you're a burden to society, and at that point you are expendable. At that point you will be, for lack of a better term, humanely put down. That's what it goes to. And then you have the capital city where all the Hollywood elites of our time are. Or it's where everybody, the movers and the shakers are, and they are living the high life, they're partying, they go to operas, clubs, shows, whatever. But everybody else in your country is struggling mightily. Now, if you're a listener of this show and you know of a way to become part of the elite during the 2030 agenda, well then this agenda is something you want because you will be living a life you can't even imagine. But for the majority of us, it will be a life of servitude and slavery until we can't work anymore or we are not productive enough, and then we will be removed from society. That is what, in my opinion, UN Agenda 2030 is. And again, for those of you who don't want affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all, you're looked on as a dissident, essentially. But let's look at the last administration that was really pushing for this green energy. They were giving all these subsidies and all of this money to these startup green energy companies. There was one in California, I can't even remember the name because they're no longer there. Obama just kept dumping millions and millions and millions of dollars into them, and they couldn't do it because they could not produce enough energy to make that green energy dream sustainable. And that's what we're running into. I said it last week's show. You can power a small city. You can power your house with green energy. Until every single resident in this country decides to put solar panels in on their house or build a dam in their backyard or have a huge-ass wind turbine in their backyard, it's not going to work. You can make it mandatory, but who's paying for that? It's just like this Medicare for All. It's free, but your taxes are going up, so it's not free. Same thing with this Green New Deal. They want to give everything for free. They want to eliminate debt. They want to eliminate a carbon footprint. They want to do green energy. How are you going to pay for it? It's coming out of our taxes, so this energy is not free. Just not free. So let's move on to goal number 8. Goal number 8 of the UN Agenda 2030 is to promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. Ladies and gentlemen, that basically says small businesses, entrepreneurs, the backbone of this country, those small businesses and entrepreneurs are what made this country great. They're gone. There is no such thing as a small business or an entrepreneur anymore because those are going to be regulated out. The only way you're going to have a job is if you work at Walmart, if you work at McDonald's, if you work at the gas station, and everybody's going to get paid the same rate, regardless of how hard of a worker you are or how lazy you are. Because in this new 2030 agenda, everybody is equal, which, again, sounds great until you put it into practical use. Now, what else this goal number 8 is going to do, it's going to force employers to meet hiring quotas of LGBTQ workers. They're going to have a certain amount of minority workers they have to have, which is kind of in effect today. But essentially, it's going to make it so you have to have a certain amount of Muslims, you have to have a certain amount of liberals, you have to have a certain amount of gay, queer, lesbian, whatever you want to call. They may not be the best qualified for the job, but you have to meet a quota. So it affects your business. That is what goal number 8 is going to do. Goal number 9 is to build resilient infrastructure, promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization, and foster innovation. It's going to put nations in extreme debt with the World Bank. Now, keep in mind, the World Bank is going to be basically the Fed for the world. They are going to control everything. They will be borrowing money from the World Bank and therefore being indebted to the World Bank for billions and trillions of dollars, which they're never going to repay. So these nations are going to be reliant on that World Bank. It's basically the hierarchy, the kingpin of the socialist society that the UN Agenda 2030 wants to bring in. So that would be like you own a house. The bank has your loan. If you don't pay on that bank, it takes your house. Same thing with the World Bank. If you are building all this infrastructure as a country and you don't pay your loan back to the World Bank, who says they're not going to take your country? And just, you're done. You're no longer a country. We're going to do things like we want to do. I know how this sounds. I know it sounds really far-fetched and really way out there. But honestly, when you look at it, is it really that far-fetched? Do you think it is beyond the realm of possibility that if we were in a one-world government, that the hierarchy, the one at the top, wouldn't take over a nation if they can't pay back their loans, which the World Bank and the UN agenda mandated? They have to build infrastructure. They have to have sustainable industrialization. That costs a ton of money. The infrastructure alone in some of these countries. Hell, if you were to replace Michigan's roads, that would cost over $1 trillion because Michigan roads are junk. So we would be in debt. to the World Bank for trillions of dollars. We can't pay that back. We can make payments, but let's say, well, now everybody's equal. How are we going to pay it all back? Because eventually, well, everybody's going to run out of money. You have Venezuela on your hands. Goal number 10. This is a big one. Because, again, you look at this and it doesn't sound like it's a bad thing, but then you really look deeper into it. Goal number 10 is to reduce inequality within and among countries. That's great. Absolutely great. I'm a big proponent of we are not countries, we are human beings. We may have countries. Yes, I am an American. I am very proud to be an American. I will defend my country, and it's not really my country. I will defend my way of life. You have your way of life over on wherever you are. But we're all made of the same things. So I don't look at you as Middle Eastern. I look at you as your descendancy. Okay, if you are Turkish, if you are Iraqi, if you are English, if you are French, if you are German, if you're Australian, whatever, Japanese, I'm good with that. I don't look at you as inferior because, look, you may look at me as inferior. You may look at me as a, you know, a fat, bastardized American. Can't say that you're wrong, but, I mean, everybody has their own knocks on another person. Goal number 10 of the UN agenda wants to eliminate that. But what they're going to do is they're going to punish the rich, the entrepreneurs, the innovators, the inventors of the world. Because inequality in this UN agenda isn't racial. It's monetary. Right now, in this country, and it's kind of going around the world from what I understand, all my listeners around the world, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that if you are rich and you are wealthy, you are now looked down upon. Whereas when I was growing up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, if you were rich and you did well, you were looked at as, man, that person, man or woman, worked hard for their money. Or they invented an amazing gift that has benefited so many people. Now, you're looked at, if you're rich, you're looked at as, oh, who'd you step on to get up there? Who'd you step on? Who did you knock down to get to your position? Maybe she worked harder or smarter than another person. Maybe they thought things differently and invented something that made life easier for millions and millions of people. Don't knock them for that. But this reduce inequality, goal 10, they're going to punish the rich. They want to redistribute this wealth that they're going to confiscate from the rich and give it to literally the minions of the world, which again sounds great. But that's not how human beings work. You have to realize how humans work in this whole scenario. Human beings were not put on this planet to simply exist. We are innovators. We are creative. We are magical beings. And this UN agenda, it wants to just eliminate the creativity, the mastery of anything that the human brain and the human psyche and the human spirit can do and say, look, if you want to do that, you can do it. If any money you make off of it, we're just going to take it from you and give it here and here and here and here. Big question is who determines where it goes? Because I guarantee you, most of it will go to the people in power. So we're not all equal. You may be equal in your district or your neck of the woods, but there's always going to be somebody that has more, and that will be the ruler of your area. That may be the president, whatever you want to call it, the almighty of the New World Order. He'll always have more. He'll live in his golden palace. He'll have multiple servants, while the rest of us are scrounging for food in the trash heap. Is that how you want to live? Because this is what it does. I'll get into that in a little bit. Number 11, make cities, and this is a great one. This is actually in the verbiage of the goal. Goal number 11 is make cities and human settlements. Tell me that doesn't sound like a futuristic, apocalyptic, sci-fi movie setting there. They want to make these human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. First thing that comes to my mind there is, there go your guns. Beto O'Rourke at the third Democratic debate, verbatim, hell yeah, we're coming for your AR-15s. Ladies and gentlemen, they're coming for your guns. They will stop at nothing to get your guns. And make it be known that this is coming not from just the Democratic Party. This is coming from the United Nations. The United Nations wants your guns. We are too powerful as of a society the way we are right now. Because I go back in history. The reason Japan never invaded the mainland of the United States, they could have done it. Definitely could have done it. The main reason they didn't, I quote, "Behind every bush is an American with a gun. We have our own civil army here. So you may knock out the area's army. You may knock out a section. But you have the civilian. Call them the militia. Call them what you want. But we have millions upon millions of non-military men and women who are ready to take up arms at any time to defend our country against an enemy combatant that is there to change our way of life. Unfortunately, that enemy combatant may be your local police force that is just doing their duty, doing what they're told, and going to confiscate your guns. This is why red flag laws scare the living daylights out of me, because if you have a beef with a neighbor, that neighbor can go and say, this guy was out in front of his yard waving his gun around. You may not have been doing that. You probably were not doing that. If you are one of the millions of law-abiding gun owners in this country, you know not to do that. We're not stupid. You don't brandish a firearm just in public and start waving it around. But they can say that and say, hey, he's been talking some crazy stuff lately. I'm really scared. You know, I don't like him having a gun. Well, then the police force is going to come over and confiscate that gun. Well, listen, there's a lot of people out there that aren't going to let you do that. You are going to have a lot of dead civilians, but unfortunately a lot of dead soldiers and a lot of dead men and women of the local law enforcement that are just doing their jobs. The problem is they're doing the jobs that these cronies high up above who have no business taking our guns, because the whole point of having us having the right to bear arms is to protect us against a tyrannical government that wants to disarm us, because a population that's disarmed cannot defend itself. So if we can't defend ourselves, the government has free rein to do what they want, and we are slaves. And that is what they're looking for. Goal number 12, ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. This is just going to begin levying taxes on the consumption of fossil fuels. This is the new Green Deal right here. If you drive more than 20 miles to work, you're paying a tax. If you fly in an airplane, you're paying a tax unless you're AOC. Anything you do that is using fossil fuels or creates a harmful emission, you are going to be taxed on. We're going to reduce your carbon output. What that's going to do is that's going to force people to live in conditions of a third world country. Who is that going to benefit? It's not going to benefit you or I. I live in the greatest country in the world. Thank God I do. I'm blessed to do so. If you limit the amount of carbon footprint I have, so-called carbon footprint I have, that just reduces me into a country that is no greater than, you know, the caveman country. You know, at that point, they're going to ban fire. They're talking about, hey, we need to eat dogs, cats, humans to save the planet. I mean, how far are these people going to go before it gets ridiculous and ludicrous in everybody's eyes? They're telling people to eat one another to save the planet. Before, we had to ban cows because of methane coming out of their flatulence. Well, if that's the case, maybe we should eat more cows instead of people. I don't know. Goal number 13. We need to take action. And this is the header. Take action to combat climate change and its impacts. Listen, this goes back to the New Green Deal 110%. The New Green Deal says it's going to combat climate change at a cost of trillions. We don't even know the true cost because we can't even fathom. We can't even count that high. We are completely rearranging our infrastructure, our emissions, the way we live, all for a non-scientifically proven theory. There are many people that believe that man is responsible for climate change. I'm going to tell you right now, we are not. You have to believe we're not. My state, Michigan, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, was covered over by a thick, mile-long sheet of ice. That ice receded. It formed the Great Lakes. It formed the rivers and valleys that this state has. Man wasn't around to warm the atmosphere and the climate enough to melt that mile-thick layer of ice. The only thing that was around at that time that has the ability to control our climate and affect our climate was one thing, and it's still here today. That is the sun. The sun controls our climate. Is it any coincidence? We had literally about a month of summer here in Michigan, and I know my northern listeners can vouch for that. We had about a month of good weather here in Michigan. Summer didn't begin till July. July 4th around there was really, really warm, and that was the first time. Other than that, all of June, if it got into the 70s, we were smoking. And then August hit, it was okay. It was okay, nothing like normal August weather. But then the end of August, I'm ready to turn the fireplace on because it's so chilly outside. It was like a crisp, cold fall day. Is it any coincidence that we are in a solar minimum now? Well, Tom, down here, we're sweltering. Yes, it's going to be different in different zones. Different areas are going to have different weather. But as a whole, the planet, since the early 2000s or early 1970s, well, let's say the 1970s, what was being told on the cover of Time magazine? Ice age coming. We're going to all freeze to death. Well, then that didn't happen. Global warming coming. We're going to all fry to death. Well, that didn't happen. Climate change. We're all going to die. It's whatever fits their narrative. And that is what Goal 13 is doing, is basically monopolizing the energy industry for the government. The government's going to control it. And again, the government can't control anything. They can't do anything right. God help us all. Goal 14. Conserve and sustainably use the ocean, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development. Listen, I am all for saving our oceans. Our oceans are vastly unexplored. We know nothing about our oceans. We know more about the surface of the moon than we do our oceans. I am a big fan of saving. I'm deathly afraid of sharks, but I want to save the sharks. I love whales. I love dolphins. I love the sea. I just don't love going in it. But what that's going to do is it's going to ban ocean fishing. It's going to plunge the food supply into an extreme shortage, and it's going to cause food price inflation. Because if we don't have fish, if we don't have crab, if we don't have lobster, if we don't have shrimp, if we don't have anything else that people around the world eat out of the ocean, then that's going to make the demand for the other food even higher. So, supply and demand. I have the supply, you have the demand, I'm raising the prices. Well, then that will lead to a food shortage, which will increase the prices even more. Economics 101. You ban ocean fishing, you skyrocket the price of food worldwide that's readily available. Vegetables, fruits, I'm sure they're going to ban eating meat, so we're all going to be vegans, God help us. Goal number 15, protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forest, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. This goes back to the original Agenda 21, And what this essentially does is forces us off of our land. If they deem our land is valuable for an ecosystem, we are going to be kicked off of our land. We may or may not be paid for this. The state may come in and say, hey, you know, at one point in Michigan, it got to the point that if you had a large puddle in your yard, the state, if they wanted to, could come in and say, that is a natural formation. That is a wildlife habitat. We have to take over this land. I don't know of any instances where that could or where that did happen, but it absolutely could have. And that's what this is. If the all-world government, the one new world order, the one world government, if they come in and deem your property as valuable to what the ecosystem may be, but it would honestly be what they want, they could say, we're going to take this land. And they will move you into what they call controlled cities. It's going to criminalize private land ownership, and that includes ranches and farms. So you can't privately own a farm. You can farm, but it'll be on government land, and you will owe and pay the government whatever you produce. And then you get it divvied out however they deem fit. Again, this harkens back to the original Agenda 21, which was essentially the government land grab of your property. And then they're going to move you into controlled cities where basically it's just high-rise apartments that you live in and they're all the same. Nobody has anything different. That's how this works. Okay, goal 16 is to promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. Again, sounds great on paper. But basically what this does, well, hold on. First off, inclusive institutions. What that means is they are going to grant favorable tax structures and government grants to corporations that hire the type of people they want, be it illegal immigrants, minorities, LGBTQ workers, or whatever groups are currently in favor with the planners of the government. So the planners of the government, if they say, okay, well, we need to get the Latino vote to, and, you know, if there's even elections, I'm sure there'll be elections, but they'll be rigged just to make it, okay, we're part of the election process. They'll make us think that. But if they need to favor a certain group, they'll say, okay, Corporation X, you need to hire this many people. If you do that, you get certain corporate tax break. What they're going to do, and this is already happening, Lois Lerner, anybody, does that ring a bell with anybody? They're going to use the IRS and other federal agencies to selectively punish groups that they deem are not for their benefit. If they are groups that talk out against the UN agenda, they will not favor them. They will punish them via taxes. They will hound them with the IRS. They will audit them. They'll give them regulatory harassment, all while they are going to ignore all the other activity, be it illegal activity from all these other groups. This is what's happening today. You can look at goal number 16 and say, this is happening right now. You can have minority people go out and call for the mass murder of police officers. You can have people call for the mass murder of white people. Minorities call for the mass murder of white people. And that's okay. But if a white person says anything derogatory, not that I am backing that up or saying that's okay, but if a white person says anything in the least bit derogatory, they're raked over the coals. They're just thrown to the wolves because they are an unfavorable group right now. You are seeing goal 16 right before your own eyes. And then the last goal. Strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the global partnership for sustainable development. So that is going to enact global trade mandates that override national laws. So our trade agreements with other countries are null and void. The UN is going to make these trade agreements. And again, the companies like Monsanto, Dow Chemical, RJ Reynolds, Coca-Cola, Merck, you name it, the big conglomerates that are all for the one world government, the UN, they are going to benefit highly. This is a power grab. Basically what Agenda 2020, basically what it is in a nutshell, is the enslavement of the people of this planet by 2030. That's what it is. The scary part is a lot of what I have just gone over in this show and last week's show has already been implemented. It's already in place. After reading these goals and after searching and researching and studying what I believe these goals really mean, again, I hate to bring politics into this, but you know, this is a pretty big subject in my eyes. What you need to do is listen to what their goals are trying to accomplish. And I get that it's worded amazing because it gives everybody that reads these goals a sense of, oh my gosh, there's hope. We can live in a utopia. We cannot live in a utopia. What they want to accomplish is unsustainable because people don't want to live like that. This is essentially a socialistic agenda. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are all for this, but they're not reading into it. I have done the research. I know our government is not there for the people like it was designed to be. It is there for themselves. And if there's a way that they can better themselves, make themselves more profitable, make themselves more powerful, they will adhere to that goal. They will cling to that goal, and they will do whatever they can to maintain and obtain that goal. And this UN agenda is the blueprint for that goal. It takes a crazy guy like me to sit down and look at these goals and say, there's ulterior motives here. And then go through each goal and find out the negatives of it. I could sit there all day and say the positives. All I have to do is regurgitate the government line, because that's what they want you to hear. But it takes a very convoluted, miswired, even wired at all mind like mine to look at this and look at the negative. However, I have not found one government policy that has truly helped people. There will be people saying, oh my gosh, Tom, what about welfare? How has that helped people? Honestly, how has it helped people? Because all it does is make people reliant on somebody else. That's not how we were designed to work. We are designed to be reliant on ourselves. We are designed to work. We are designed to better ourselves. And the government wants us to be reliant on them. And this is exactly what the UN 2030 agenda is all about. It's government reliance. Once you are reliant on the government, you don't want to be in a position where the government is not going to support you and provide for you. The problem is, there is no way that this agenda is going to work. It's just like the New Green Deal. There's no way it's going to work. There's not enough money in the world to make this agenda work. I believe it was Margaret Thatcher that said, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. And that's what's going to happen. But you take that on a worldwide scale, and it's going to happen just like that. And people are going to be, what happened? Where's my utopia? And the paranormal patriot will be sitting here in his bunker saying, I told you so. I'm going to eat my golden grams right now. It's not going to work, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you can look at it as, Tom, you're being too negative on this. There are some good points. I'm not going to say there's not some good points. Everybody knows how I feel about the environment. I want to help the environment. That doesn't mean that we completely disregard electricity, air travel, vehicle travel, cows farting. What it means is we're not going to dump chemicals into our lakes and rivers. We're not going to let Fukushima be dumping millions of gallons of radioactive water every day into the Pacific Ocean and act like nothing's wrong. We're not going to kill these animals and these plants and vegetables and these living beings just for sport. I don't mind if you hunt, because if you hunt, you're taking that meat and nourishing yourself and your family. I don't have a problem with that. We being the highest species on the food chain, we have that ability. But just don't go out there and shoot that elephant because, hey, it's an elephant. To me, that's barbaric. But, hey, that's going way off the subject. So that is my synopsis of the UN Agenda 2030. Let me know what you think. Is it the dire predictions that I have been predicting, or is it the blueprint to utopia? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know. So, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you the heartbreaking story about what happened to this man in Canada. You have to stick around for this. This is completely and utterly heartbreaking. And oh, by the way, it's coming to the United States. Be prepared. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
A few old records in my ripped up jeans to match my heart in this tragedy. Holding on to any part of me that was once convicted.
Okay, I hate to make this quick, but I'm running out of time, so I just want to tell you about Canadian Sean Taggart, aged 41. Mr. Taggart suffered from ALS. His illness reduced his ability to move his body. He couldn't eat or speak. However, Mr. Taggart's mental awareness was spot on. It was unaffected. When he was diagnosed, doctors recommended 24-hour in-home care to support Mr. Taggart. Now again, this is the Canadian universal healthcare system. Keep that in mind. However, Vancouver Coastal Health initially offered Mr. Taggart only 15 and a half hours of care a day. That's 8.5 hours short of what he needed. Now, then they raised it to 20 hours, which was generous of them, but that still left 4 hours short every day that he couldn't care for unless he paid for it. So he was forced to pay $263.50 a day for the remaining care that he needed to survive. Now, on social media, Mr. Taggart came on there and updated his status, and he explained that two Vancouver Coastal Health officials came to his home and confirmed that they were cutting even more funding for the hours that he was getting cared for. Remember, 24 hours in a day, and he was only, the insurance companies were only paying for 20. And they came to his door and said, oh, by the way, Mr. Taggart, we know you can't survive on your own because you don't have the ability to move, eat, or speak. But we're just going to have to cut those hours even more. So after receiving the news, Mr. Taggart wrote a number of absolutely heartbreaking, devastating social media updates, which read, and I quote from Mr. Taggart, and this will tell you how sound his mind was. So, last Friday, I officially submitted my medically assisted death paperwork with my lawyers and doctors. Everything is in proper order. It has been a month since I submitted my appeal to the Vancouver Coastal Health Patient Care Quality Department. They didn't even respond. And then he ended the post with, "Welcome to the great Canadian healthcare system." So let me refresh your memory and kind of rehash what's going on. This man cannot survive on his own because he doesn't have the ability to, because a terrible disease has taken away his ability to care for himself. Because of the universal health care, the Canadian government would only pay for 20 hours a day of help. Therefore, he has to pay $263.50. He did. And then the Canadian government says, well, we're going to cut that. And he can't afford it. $263 a day for 4 hours. They cut it back to the original 15.5. He can't afford it. So what were his options? Canada has a medically assisted suicide law, or right, that you can kill yourself. He had no other choice. He had to file that paperwork, and it was approved. Mr. Taggart, on August 6th, 2019, was killed by assisted suicide. Tell me how you would feel. You have yourself or a loved one that can't care for themselves in this universal Medicare for all, great healthcare system, now considers you a burden of society. You're a burden on society. You can't care for yourself. You're just draining the system. They cut your funding. You can't afford to pay to have your life cared for. And so you have to go and sign paperwork and give the consent to have somebody kill you. That's what they did. They looked at his life and said, "You're not worth it." And they said, "You're better off dead." And unfortunately, Mr. Taggart had no other choice. He couldn't move. He couldn't speak. He couldn't eat. But he was sure of sound mind. He was absolutely of sound mind. And the Canadian government killed this 41-year-old man because they chose to believe that he just wasn't worth the air he was breathing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what is being proposed in America. God help you if you are sick. My wife has cancer, non-curable. She's going very well. She's strong. She's fighting this. She's doing amazing. But I know there's going to come a day where it's not going to be that way. I don't want her to go. Is my government going to say, "You're a burden on society. Let's just euthanize her," just like a dog, like a stray dog. That's what we are going to be looked at. If you are sick, if you are not contributing to this society, if you are too old to contribute, rather than you spent all those years working, rather than enjoy the golden years of your life and reap the fruits of your labor, is it possible our government's going to say, "You're done. You're going down. We're going to put you down. It's painless. You'll just fall asleep." Imagine that. Imagine having to sign the paperwork, giving somebody else the ability and the authorization to kill you. Things need to happen. That's why 2020 election is so important. I mean, everybody, left, right, center of the aisle, is going to have somebody in that position. And you may be a Democrat, and you may be all for euthanasia until it's you or someone you love. What are you going to think then? I don't know. It's heartbreaking. I pray for the family. I pray for the soul of Mr. Taggart. Horrible, horrible way to go. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. All right, that'll be it for the show this week. I hope you enjoyed. I hope everything went well on the re-record. I had a lot of technical problems, but hopefully it went well. Thank you for listening. I will get with you next week. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week.
Sorry, excuse me. This isn't